Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I hope wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're just absolutely enjoying this holiday season. And depending on where you are, it might be storming because we're right here at winter's cusp. But we're going to be talking about a subject that is not necessarily just mind power, but it's also heart power and spiritual power. And what is that? That is, what is your belief system? There is so much that goes into determining what it is that we accept in our lives. And my guest today, Margaret Placentra Johnston, has put together a rather interesting book. It's called Faith Beyond Belief. And this is a provocative thought, and it touches upon many aspects of what as human beings we can experience and how we can work through that and be able to be comfortable in our own spiritual skins, you might say, in whatever choice that we make. I want to welcome to the airwaves Margaret Johnston. Margaret, thank you for being me today.
Hi, Donna. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Now, you have won the Nautilus Book Award with this publication, and your journey of your own personal exploration is very much mentioned in this book, and you had a number of people that worked with you on putting together the information. And I think that it's so appropriate today because we have so much that's in media that is part of public discourse. We have international associations at a much higher level of different belief systems that come across our path. Your journey took you into many different modalities of belief system. Now, I'd like for you to define the difference between belief and faith. We're in a holiday season where the joy of beautiful music and so many festivals and festivities of different types of different cultures are happening. And to me, it's just fabulous. I love the diversity. But what, in your mind, is the difference between faith and belief?
Well, Donna, that's interesting. The publisher insisted I add the word faith to my original title, which was just Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind. So it was very fortuitous that they insisted I add the word faith, because the more I thought about it as we were awaiting publication, that just sums up the whole topic I was talking about, is faith that comes about beyond belief. So the difference in my mind between faith and belief is what you're taught by the authorities from your religious institution, and good people absorb these beliefs and they believe them until they reach a questioning stage where something doesn't make sense in their belief system. And in our widening world where we're exposed to people from all different belief systems and all different cultures, you can hardly maintain that original belief system saying only my belief system is correct. And unfortunately, a lot of people are then led to discard their entire belief system because the beliefs don't make sense. Well, the point of the book was to show that not just me, but many of these spiritual development theorists who had studied in depth have described a type of faith that is not based on literal belief. The person may still say they believe in God or whatever, but they don't exactly mean the belief in that, you know, this bearded guy in the sky, this anthropomorphic figure. It's something much broader than that. So faith is more, in the way I'm trying to describe it, and I'm not alone, there were a number of theorists who did the same thing, said that this type of faith is beyond, something that can happen beyond the questioning stage when you've already grown out of the original belief system and are looking for something bigger. Faith is something that more like trust. that maybe you don't know all the answers. You don't know who or what God is. You don't know if there's a God or not, but whatever it is, you trust that there's goodness and there's a purpose and there's an order to our existence, and that's faith.
There is so much to what you say. I have, as a counselor and being in the work of mind for most of my life, I have found that when dogma of any kind, I don't care what costume it comes in, dogma of any type, when someone really begins to examine or to question themselves and say, why is it that this is uncomfortable for me, or why is it this feels comfortable? I have a very dear friend, and she is just one of the most wonderful human beings I've ever known. And she went through a cycle like this, and she found that really she had to step away. And this was her journey. She had to step away from everybody else's opinions. And believe me, she had a lot of people around her that were giving her a lot of opinions. And finally, she came to a particular positioning, and she found a religious group that she felt an affinity with, and she decided this is what she was going to do. And there was a sense of contentment. She based her choice on what was right for her. And we often have conversations about this, and we just, it's so interesting. When I got your material, you have a number of different individual stories in the book about their challenges. And the choices they make are not good or bad. I think everyone has to go through their own individual journey. And the questioning part is something that I feel more and more people are experiencing, because they say, this doesn't make sense. What is it that's missing here? And I think, again, whenever you get into dogma, it is, again, whatever costume it may come in, getting past that dogma to understand that there is something, and you may or may not choose to put a name to it. It's your choice. But there is something very, very special in life, and it can affect us all in a very unique way. I had a guest on just last week whose husband was a physicist, and he ended up with Aboriginal people in Australia. It totally made him aware of something that he had never, ever been open to. He'd gone through a very critical situation. His story was a very powerful one, and I think that many, many people are awakening to this. In your journey, Margaret, what was the most profound experience as you were putting together this book, because it has a number of sections to it. You've got a section that addresses religion, and you have section, are they right, you know, your own story, and then who is a mystic, which I want to touch on because I think that that's a fascinating chapter. But how did this affect your life and your thinking? Because you're a very analytical person. This is part of what you do. How was your life affected by your own research?
Well, certainly, I feel fortunate that I was somehow privy to this type of information, that there is a sort of faith beyond belief, because I'm quite sure I would have never found my own way there on my own without the research and work of others. So what I want to say is that most of our society, unfortunately, does not support people moving forward in this type of a journey. The individual journey is suppressed. The questioning is suppressed. People are told you must obey authority. You must trust, you know, whatever the Bible says, that's the law. And they're not encouraged to develop their own individual personal authority. And without that questioning step, and this is something that these theorists bring up, but they only do it in a sort of a cryptic way. But without that questioning step, you are kept a spiritual child. And I certainly would have remained that spiritual child had I not gone through this process of deciding to write the book and the process of writing the book. And I'm not sure that I'm not still a spiritual child, but I am in awe of these people who got there on their own. And as you see in the book, there are six stories of people who pretty much went through the process and pretty much got to this type of post-critical faith on their own.
And that
I
is
find
something.
That very inspiring.
Yeah, and that's something you find this in every culture. That is why I think your book, Faith Beyond Belief, is such an intriguing read. But when you look at life, and when you look at the cultural diversity that we have, within every culture, there are those individuals that have made the discovery. And it is something, like you say, it's quite a fascinating aspect to look at how they went through that questioning phase, how they moved into a self-examination, introspection, and then went out seeking, and they find that there is something so utterly wonderful. You really can't put a tag on it. But as human beings, I think we try to do that. And when someone reaches that point, usually other people say, I want what you've got. What have you got? What have you done? And it really is an individual journey. There is no special package, you add water, mix, and you've got it. Right. It is something, it's a very individualistic experience. And I had to chuckle to myself when you said society is not supportive. Well, my goodness, you go back to the medieval ages and you'll find society was anything but supportive. You go back further in history and you'll find that most cultures did not, and it's still prevalent today, did not want to deal with change. They didn't want to have anybody upset the apple cart. Think of the days of Apollo when the gods reigned in Olympus and they had just a very short cycle and they were eventually replaced. Why? Because, again, of what you mentioned, of the questioning and going beyond, again, what I call a dogmatic factor. And when you study history, I think that this is really a wonderful, wonderful thing to be aware of. Because in a sense, there's nothing really new, but we are just in a different role play. And it's an intriguing perspective. Now, I want to address your chapter on who is a mystic. Now, what is a mystic in your definition?
Well, I've been taken to task somewhat on my choice of that word, and one particularly wise person suggested I had should have perhaps used the word unitive. But I didn't use unitive because I was looking for a certain part of speech that was goes along with the other stages. But anyway, that being said, I used the term mystic to imply that this is a person who has moved beyond that dogmatic type of faith, dogmatic belief system. They've gone through the questioning stage, which in the book I call the rational stage, and they've moved on to this kind of faith that can arise in a post-critical phase. After you've gone through the critical phase and you've reasoned out that some of the beliefs from you were taught as a child aren't true, and perhaps reject the original belief system. If you keep questioning and keep being open to other information coming in, you may develop this post-critical faith, or what I call the mystic. And basically, they're people who are universal. Their worldview is larger than just their own belief system. It's larger than just saying, well, all those who figured out that the belief systems are wrong, we're all right, and everybody else is wrong. It's much bigger than that. And appreciating that there's truth in every culture, in every religion, and it's truth because it's not truth at the literal level. It's truth in that each individual culture develop their belief system to express something that's universal to humankind, which is the need to connect with something larger.
You have a wonderful story of, well, there's many stories in your book, but there is a woman who was in her 80s, or getting close to 80, when you interviewed her. Nyla was her name, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful to read this story because it was so parallel to what my mentor many years ago went through, and I said, my goodness, Nyla went through almost exactly the same kind of experience my mentor did. She just started questioning in her environment, and she was put into a psychiatric room. I mean, they thought she was nuttier than a fruitcake. Mm-hmm. Her husband, if I remember correctly, committed her.
Her husband and her minister confined her to
a... Yeah, couldn't find her. Now, stop and think about this. Because she's questioning, she has to be insane. And the same thing happened to my mentor. Now, she wasn't put in there. She had a different positioning. But Nyla had been raised to be subservient. And she was an American woman, but she had been raised within a certain environment that was very dogmatic. And so they had the right to do this to her, but she was absolutely amazing. She said, they put me in the center because they thought I had a breakdown, but really it was a breakthrough.
Right.
Because she said while she was there, she realized that the reason that there was so much challenge is that she wasn't honoring herself. And she said she started thinking for herself. Whoa, that is a huge breakthrough.
Right, exactly. And so much more, too, of that generation that I think women didn't. I think the younger women maybe are encouraged to think more for themselves, but to do, for someone of her generation to do that was just so great.
I just think that it's such a powerful story. And male or female, when we are able to get to that point, and I think that is what your book, Faith Beyond Belief, offers. It offers not just intellectual material to mentally nibble at, if you so desire. And what I like is you say, here is what I have observed. This is what my research has done. These are the stories of people that I have encountered, and here is my story. And there is that, again, this part on what makes it so interesting is that, like with Nyla, she learned how to trust herself. That was part of her journey. To honestly express her feelings instead of hiding them. And you made a statement in the book, her life story is one of steadily increasing personal authenticity. Wow, that is powerful. That is very powerful. And this woman is close to 80. I'm assuming she has celebrated her 80th birthday since you've published this book. And you have a story about a man named David who went through an out-of-body experience and how that transformed him. And he just went through all kinds of stuff.
Right. And he did turn out totally transformed. It was very interesting. He won't call it a near-death experience, but it sort of sounded like one, the way he described it.
And so here he is, and it was an accident that caused it, and he turned his attitude around to say, what is the gift out of this? Now, for someone to go through a series of negative experiences and to be able to transform their thinking from that of a victim to one that says, what is the gift? That is huge. What is
and
the gift?
What I especially like in him also is the sense of deep personal responsibility for some minor wrongs he had committed as a child. And he's bullying a child, and suddenly he just feels this deep remorse for this behavior. I just thought that was so great, the way he suddenly became accountable.
And that, too, is something that many times people go through. I saw segments. I didn't have a chance to watch the whole movie, Eat, Love, and Pray. And I just thought, there's so many poignant pieces of information in the parts that I was able to see that related certain messages. And one of the biggest messages was being able to forgive oneself for whatever wrongs that were done. And I thought that is a very, very powerful message, because when you can take the attitude like David did, what is the gift of this experience? What can I see, accept, and utilize so that I can lift myself beyond being a victim and being accountable? That is just absolutely incredible. You have a number of stories by different people. And I think that Jean, in your segment that you have here, she's a middle-aged lady from the Midwest, and she was always a sassy personality. I mean, this was someone that came in was the mental equivalent of three letters in one word, Y, with a big question mark behind it all the time, driving everybody nuts because she just couldn't think the same way of everybody that was around her. And I think this is delightful. It really is. She was very much her own person, and she got involved in all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that really caused her to wake up. There were some things that happened. Mm-hmm. The vulnerability she exposed herself to. Mm-hmm. And then she accepted herself, warts and all. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, that's a big, big step.
Mm-hmm. That so many of us have a hard time getting to, again, because our culture does not support individual authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Now, when she was talking with you, when you were discussing what you were going to be putting in the book and you were talking with Jean, did she have any concerns about being so open about her story?
Yes. Every one of them had some level of concern, some more than others. But we had to discuss, you know, should we include this or disinclude that? Should we use the real name or the fake name? Should we change any details of the story in order to protect the person's individuality? So just like everyone else, we had this discussion and went back and forth over it several times over the years I was writing the book. The decision was made and changed and made and changed.
Now, with her, she said she no longer lived in fear. Her transformational story is very powerful. She no longer lived in fear of someone hurting her. Mm-hmm. How many people do we have on this planet that walk around terrified? Mm-hmm. I was in the company of people just in the last 2 days. They literally have a cloak of fear that they wear 24 hours a day. And the anxiety they go through is just unbelievable. And yet they're terrified of dropping the box that they've put themselves into because they become so comfortable with it, even though it's miserable.
Exactly.
They're comfortable with it.
They're afraid of what's outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid, like Silas fences. They're afraid of what's outside the fence.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the gifts that your book brings. And I love this one commentary that you have. Isn't that how any of us grow? It seems growth can only happen when we rub up against ideas and thoughts that challenge our ordinary view of things. No kidding. I mean, all somebody has to say is, I'm going to serve you chocolate-covered cockroaches for snack at lunchtime. And I will tell you, I have an instantaneous response because in my mind I see these little things. But in certain cultures, this is totally normal. Eating bugs for breakfast, thank you. I think I will digress. I will step away. But that's what, you know, what is it you have been involved with? What is it that you're willing to question? I guarantee you, I'm still not going to actively go out and seek chocolate-covered cockroaches. But
no, I'm with you on that. I'm not willing to grow.
Yes, but seriously, it's so important that we are not afraid to question. Because when we look at the life of humanity, at least, let's say, in Western culture, we look at the dark ages we went through because there was all kinds of dogma and terrorism and fear. We think we're experiencing it today. Study history. This is nothing new. There are always going to be those out there that want to suppress. But it's when you question and you say there has to be a different way. I cannot buy into this. And we're going through a major upheaval right now because a lot of old institutions are finding they are out of date. It is not workable.
And it's becoming irrelevant. Yeah.
That's right. However, you have birthing pains, and any woman in this on this planet that has ever given birth to a child, including myself, will say, excuse me, this is not a piece of cake here. This is something, it is hard work, and it is very, very difficult to go through a change. And usually, when you give birth, There may be a few women out there that says, it was just, like having a piece of chocolate. Great, I'm glad for you. Not for me. And I know millions of women that can say, oh, please, I was just miserable. I mean, it's just, but once it's done, then there's the joy of new life.
The joy, right, exactly. Yes. You have to get through the pain to get to the joy.
Absolutely. And so that, again, you have a number of gifts through your book, Faith Beyond Belief, that it's not saying anything is terribly bad. Your primary concept is, if you're dissatisfied, understand faith belongs to you. A religion can be something that is developed by people with whatever parameters. But you are a child of this universe. Whoever you are, wherever you are on this planet, you have the right to question. You have the right to have this wonderful journey of self-discovery. And your stories in here about people who decided to open up and share their stories and all kinds of good points of information. Faith Beyond Belief is quite a book that allows you to see different modalities, different positionings of experience and thought, and the results that people attain. And one of the things that I liked is you never stop growing. You never stop learning. You never stop doing. Margaret Placentra Johnston, what is your website that people can go to find out more about your publication?
The book website is faithbeyondbelief-book.com. And again, the book title is Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, Margaret, it has been a delight having you as a guest. Is there a thought you would like to leave with my listening audience before we say goodbye to our chat today?
Well, I very much like what you ended with, Donna, that you never finish growing. And the more the person has the feeling that they have arrived at a certain point, the more you can be sure they really haven't yet arrived, because there's always more room to grow.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is a wonderful way to look forward to a new year that's in front of us, to look forward not with fear, not with trepidation, but with a sense of excitement, that there is something absolutely magnificently special about life. No matter what your culture is, no matter where you live on this planet, there is something that is so magical about this experience. And the only way we can find out about that magic that relates to us and to those around us, but we have to do the exploration ourselves. And I think that, again, is one of the gifts that your book, Faith Beyond Belief, brings to everyone. I want to thank you for being my guest, and I wish you continued success with your publication.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I've enjoyed it, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you. This is Donna Sebo, Faith Beyond Belief. I think it's a fascinating read. If you're questioning, if you're curious, look it up. Check it out. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com. at DelphiInternational.com. And her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hello, welcome, and happy holidays to all of you. Oh my goodness, it is getting more and more exciting, isn't it? Are you busy baking and cleaning and doing all that kind of stuff? I know the SIBO household. That's what's going on here. And I just absolutely love having the Christmas lights on in the house on the tree. It just absolutely is so uplifting because we're having storms, it's dark, it's gray outside, and all of those colorful lights are just so uplifting. And speaking of being uplifted, hey, if you want to give me a call today, give me a call at the toll-free number of 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And we'll be able to chat and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a thought with you, and it comes about because of a conversation I had with someone when I was out walking Victor, my little Scotty, and I encountered one of my neighbors, Jean, and we were discussing the holidays and how busy we were, and he had given us a lovely Christmas card, and I thanked him for that. And he said, you know, Donna, Christmas cards just aren't as popular as they used to be. And I said, well, there are people that send e-cards. And he said, yeah, but, you know, when I was growing up, you really had all these Christmas cards out displayed somewhere. And I thought to myself, you know what? He's right. And he said, we used to put them up on ribbons and hang them across doorways. And the more you got, the better it was. And he said it was very, you know, very, very special. And I said, well, that is very true. Well, it reminded me of a comment that was made by a woman by the name of Judy Daniels, and she's in Michigan. And cards are so important, and I think that the e-cards are fine, and I've gotten some beautiful ones from many of you. I want to thank you so much for doing that. But she had a special story about cards that I wanted to share. She asked a question, and that is, have you ever hesitated to send an ailing friend a get-well card? And she went on to comment. She said, maybe you think they've got a lot going on. Sending a card is just going to get lost in the shuffle, and you don't want them to be bothered. You don't want them to feel like they've got to reply to you. I don't know, we've got a caller, but I'm going to finish this story. And she said, I am wanting to send a message to people. If you have the urge to send somebody a card, send it. Don't worry about getting a response or anything else. She said, send it. And this is her story. She said, when her husband was very, very ill, he had been diagnosed with lung cancer. His doctor said a positive attitude would boost his chances of survival. That's right, a positive attitude. So she said, we took the advice to heart. Every single card that he got from friends that he was sent, they had them posted so that he was reminded that there were a lot of people that loved him and cared for him and were praying for him. She said it meant so much to him. He'd read the messages. He'd look at the pictures. He got stronger mentally and physically because of the thoughtfulness of people sending him a card. He lived 6 years beyond his diagnosis of terminal cancer. And she said, even as he was coming to the close of his life, 6 years later, mind you, he stayed in such an optimistic state of mind, and he would continue to look through the cards that friends and family had sent with him. She said, he felt like he was surrounded by love. If there's anyone you've wanted to send a card to and you go, oh, my goodness, Donna, Christmas is just a couple of days away, they won't get it. Don't worry about that. Remember that your thoughts of love and caring mean a great deal. Send that card. Let them know. Give them a phone call, for heaven's sakes. Do what you need to do because you make a difference in other people's lives. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. We're going to go to our caller who's been waiting very patiently. Hello, and happy holidays to you.
Yes, Donna, how are you?
Happy I am doing holidays. Wonderful. What is your first name or initial, please?
F-Z.
And where are you calling in from, dear?
From New York.
From New York. Oh, New York is one of my favorite cities at holiday time. It is gorgeous there. Oh, my goodness. Do you have snow right now?
I have what?
Is there snow in New York right now? I haven't checked weather reports.
It's raining. Raining on the
Oh, my goodness. Yep, that just makes everything
only
glistening.
Raining, yes.
Well, that's good. You don't have heavy snow right now, which is a good thing. All right, dear, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at, FZ, is that I really want you to take care of yourself.
Can you say it louder? Yeah, so how to be
okay.
Here.
All right.
Yes, please.
All right. Well, I'll repeat it again. You need to take care of yourself. I'm seeing you going through a lot of stress. I am looking at you feeling sort of sad inside, but your body is very exhausted. And it can happen that way when emotionally you are very, very stressed. And so I look at this and I want to say, take care of yourself and stop being so critical and look at how many good things really are in your life, but also realize that there are things that you have no control over. You cannot control other people and other circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I really think that the year 2014 is going to make you aware of how you must give attention to yourself. This is so important for you because
you said it was 2014?
2014, the new year.
Oh, 2014. Okay.
Yes. And in the new year, there is going to be some discord, some upheaval with some people that have been in your life. It could be family, it could be friends, but I'm seeing two people.
Okay, you said like some evil from my family or friends, right?
Yes, it's two individuals, yes. Two different
two
people.
Two individual. Okay.
Yes, yes. Two people.
Two and people will like to hunt me?
No. It's not harm. It's not harm. They're not wanting to do you harm. But what it is you're going to find that you do not want to be in their company. You're not
I don't want to be their company.
Yeah, you don't want to be a part of what you consider very negative. Let me rephrase it.
Okay, negative people.
Yeah, so you're going to say to yourself, I can step away from this on a gradual basis.
I can get away.
In a gradual way. And I really think that 2014, there's a lot of challenges that are going to come your way because you say, this is no longer good for me. I must make a change. And that is going to assist you quite a bit. But 2014 is a breakthrough year for you. It really is. And
it's
you're
great
going
news for me.
Yeah, it's a breakthrough year.
Oh, break the rule. Okay.
Yeah, breakthrough.
I will break the rule.
Yes, you're going to break through in 2014. What question do you have for me, dear?
Okay, the question is, like, I have so much things, like you say, right? And then most important, I worry about my daughter. Yes, if she dating one guy, right, and then they got problem, and his family also. And I don't know, because my daughter, she's so much stressed also, and then from the school, and then I get problem for the boyfriend's family.
Well, I'm not going to be able. All right, dear, I understand, and you've got a lot of questions here, but I can only do one question on the show. And if you know you want
to, I would like to know actually in my life when can I be a my mother-in-law? I don't know when.
No, I didn't understand your question. What was your question?
My question is that when I become mother, you know, because
oh,
my
you're
going
to want you're
there.
Wanting to okay. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
I know a lot of pressure.
There's no need to have that pressure. It's not necessary. It is not necessary. Your daughter will make a choice.
Yeah.
No, when she makes her choice, it will be her choice. And you will then know that she thought things through. I do not think the relationship that she has right now is going to work, and she knows that. But she is stuck with some of her thinking. And that's okay. Mm. She can release this. It's not the end of the world. But
so
it's a journey she has
will,
to go through.
Be with this boyfriend or not?
I don't think so. I don't think this is going to work. Because I think your daughter is aware that there are too many differences that cannot be changed.
Yes.
But I would just say you focus.
It cannot be.
I know, FC. But you need to focus on keeping yourself balanced.
Oh,
trust that your daughter is going to make the right choice.
I feel like so much stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You need to let it go.
Myself also. Can I have one more question?
I'm going to have to go.
I can't concentrate on what I do in the temple, right? Mm-hmm. Later on, if I get problem from the temple, people will blame me. I don't do that much.
Well, you've got a complex situation here, and I don't think there's a simple black and white answer. And I know we're going to be going on break there, but being that we're on the air, I am not going to be able to answer your questions in the depth
that
you would
that.
Like.
But yeah, because I'm kind of so confused, you think two negative people in my life last year.
Dear, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go. And as I said, if you want to go into more depth with me, you can always call me at my office, and we can set up a time and appointment. But I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time on the air discussing this in depth today. I'm just not going to be able to do that. And we're going to be going to a break in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. And if you'd like to chat with me, that's fine. I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. And by the way, tomorrow and on Wednesday, we're going to be having the best of Donna. And then we are going to be back live in studio with Lorraine Flaherty. We're going to be going to Ireland to talk to this lady via technology. Healing with Past Life Therapy, and then on Friday, we're going to be talking with a fascinating woman, Deborah Thunderbeat, and she's going to be talking about ETs and angels. Ah, yes, right with the seasons. We're going to be taking a break here. We'll be back in just a moment. I'd be delighted to take your call, 888-627-6008. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience? Such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings. If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number is 888-627-6008. Well, if you're like so many of us, when we're busy baking, we're busy preparing for the holidays, we turn on the television and maybe have Frosty the Snowman or How the Grinch Stole Christmas or something that's going to put us in the holiday mood. And boy, today there's so many choices to have in Christmas programming. And I'm a fan of the Hallmark Channel. I just love their stories because it always ends up with a happy ending and things being resolved. It's just wonderful. It's very optimistic, a lot of the programming. But there is obviously a favorite of many, How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. And there's this little comment that somebody put out. It said, then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? And it really does. I think this is a marvelous season. And when we go back in history, the pagans, as they were called, had a similar kind of celebration with different storylines. But it was there because during the darkest time of the year, you need to have something to make you feel perky, because when you don't have very much daylight and it's just stormy and cold and difficult, having a party, having festivities, enabling you to celebrate life, not look at the negative side, but look at the positive side, really does make a difference. And I love this story, this little comment that was made by a woman from Wyoming. She said her as a special treat, her grandson decided to give a 5-year-old great-grandson 2 pieces of candy. And the one little boy asked the other little boy, when he was extending the choices in front of him, which one would you like? You can pick one for now and save the other for later. And the little boy was being offered to, 5 years old, mind you, he said, why? I've got 2 hands. I could take them both right here, right now. I just love the logic of kids. They will come up with statements like you would not believe. I just think they're so much fun. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. Well, in keeping with the season, a favorite movie is Toyland. And I think Annette Funicello played in it and Frankie Avalon. And it's just magical. It really is magical. Well, Toyland, the music, was written by Victor Herbert in the 1800s. In fact, he was an Irish-born American composer, conductor, and cellist. That's right. Now, it was first performed in Chicago in 1903, on June 17th. Audiences loved Toyland, just loved it. They loved the costumes, the scenery. And there was a man by the name of Glenn MacDonald who wrote the libretto, the text of the operetta, and the lyrics for all the songs of the show. Now, one of the first recordings of Toyland was made by Corinne Morgan and the Hayden Quartet in 1904. And with that recording, it became the number one song on the popular music charts. Now, Victor Herbert, he enjoyed a successful career as a composer of light music, but he had to work hard for his success. This wasn't an overnight happening. He loved the cello. He studied it when he was young and played the instrument in Edward Strauss's waltz band in Vienna in the 1880s. And he came to New York only because he had married a famous Viennese opera singer whose name was Therese Forster, and she was being offered a starring role in the New York Metropolitan Opera production in 1886. Well, he got inspired because in 1894, he wrote his first light opera, and 10 years later, he formed the Victor Herbert New York Orchestra. And he is also one of the founders of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. The Songwriters Association intended Babes in Toyland primarily as amusement for children. However, it has been kept intact and is still beloved by people of all ages. And if you are sort of familiar with the lyrics, maybe you don't remember them exactly, they're so charming. This is how the lyrics read. When you're grown up, my dears, and are as old as I, You'll often ponder on the years that roll so swiftly by. My dears that roll so swiftly by, and of the many lands you will have journeyed through, you'll oft recall the best of all, the land your childhood knew. The land your childhood knew. When gain you've grown up, my dears, there comes a dreary day when mid the locks of black appears, the first pale gleam of gray. My dears, the first pale gleam of gray, then of the past you'll dream as gray-haired grown-ups do and seek once more its phantom shore, the land your childhood knew. The land your childhood knew. Toyland, toyland, little girl and boyland, while you dwell within it, you are ever happy then. Childhood's joyland, mystic, merry toyland. Once you pass its borders, you can ne'er return again. It is absolutely charming. If you've never watched it, you really should. It is, the music is just delightful. But a little bit of historical trivia for some of the holiday entertainment that we enjoy so very, very much. Tomorrow, you're going to be hearing a replay of the stories of Christmas, some of the history of Christmas. We'll be playing that, and then, of course, the holiday special that I play every year on Christmas Day. I know you're going to be busy, just like I am, visiting family and friends, but we'll be back on Thursday, live and ready to go, taking you into experiences of people, places, and different environments. We'll be traveling to Ireland on Thursday, and I hope you'll be able to join us. I wanted to share some items with people. Oh, let me address this quickly, because I had said I would get to this, and a woman asked about what to do with the physical and emotional feelings with what she believes is empathy. She finds that she has a sensory system when it comes to being aware of disasters occurring. And there's a physiological effect often with people when they go through these experiences, and documentation is very important. She was quite concerned because she sees it as being a negative. However, I don't. I feel that each of us are given gifts, talents regarding telepathy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, which is what this would come under. And it's good to acknowledge it and not put a label on it, but allow it to express itself through you. If you document what your experiences are, that enables the conscious self to work with the subconscious level of openness that you have. And you don't want to be fearful of it, because the intuitive self is meant to be an asset for you. It's part of your survival kit. So when you can document it and then you're able to follow up with your own research, you'll find that you may have a particular empathy, but it may only be just one of many aspects of your own talent. So I would suggest to anyone that is having certain experiences to write them down and be as detailed as you possibly can be. That grounds you and enables you then to use positioning of observation for yourself. I know we're out of time. I want to say, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. I will not be with you live tomorrow, but we'll have a wonderful show for you anyway, also on Wednesday. God bless. I'll be back with you live on Thursday. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, enjoy and share all of the joys of the holiday season. And remember, you're loved and you have a wonderful life to be grateful for. There's a lot of good, even if the gifts of learning sometimes come with a little bit of discomfort, maybe great discomfort. Look for the gift. Look for the gift, and you'll find you're richer than you're aware of. God bless. I'll be talking with you again on Thursday. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.